I'll ask you to remain standing and turn with me to Psalm 66, which is our psalm for this morning, as we are making our way through the Psalms this summer, both in song and in scripture, in preaching. Had a fruitful time downstairs with the adult Christian education class at the 9 o'clock hour. I think we had quite an enjoyable time reviewing Psalm 65. Our plan for the summer is to preach the Psalms here in the sanctuary, and then in the adult Christian education hour in the social room to review the previous week's psalm for to go a little further and a little deeper. And it was a fruitful and rich time. And so next Sunday, I'll be down in the social room looking more closely at Psalm 66. That is our text for this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn there or to take a pew Bible. These are the words of God. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O Lord, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals. With the smoke of the sacrifice of rams, I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but truly God has listened. He has attested to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Lord Jesus, we thank you that all of Scripture is Christian Scripture, and that this psalm speaks of you, Lord Jesus. Help us to hear you in the words and to receive you anew today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Alyssa, I'm going to ask you to turn on the confidence monitor for me. Thank you. On Thursday of this past week, Tom O'Boyle and I achieved a milestone together. Or maybe Peter, are you good at it? One of you. All right. Tom O'Boyle and I achieved a milestone together in the Scattered Seeds podcast ministry. After several years of effort, we finally had the opportunity to interview a man who is considered by many in the larger evangelical world here in Pittsburgh to be a pillar of discipleship and faith. Dr. Bruce Bickle is known to many of you. He is a pastor, teacher, entrepreneur, Navy pilot, Vietnam War veteran, and former Navy Academy football quarterback. He has had a most interesting and impressive life. He's even considered by some to have risen to the standard of legend in the area of Christian leadership and excellence in marketplace ministry within our city. Some of you even attended the Bible study that he taught for 28 years in PNC, in the boardroom of PNC, and then later at First Presbyterian Church downtown. When I first asked Dr. Bickle if he would be willing to sit down for an interview, he was hesitant for two reasons. The first reason for his hesitation was practical in nature. You see, Dr. Bickle now suffers from Parkinson's disease, caused by his exposure to the Agent Orange chemical used in the Vietnam War. And as a result of that exposure and the Parkinson's from which he now suffers, his mobility is greatly limited. It's difficult for him to make his way around and even to church, though sometimes you'll see him here as he overcomes those limitations in order to be in the household of God. We reassured Dr. Bickle that we would be more than happy to bring our equipment to him for the interview, which helped in what we did this past week. But the second reason for his hesitation was theological. Dr. Bickle didn't want to sit down with us in order to talk about himself. He had no interest in talking about who he was, who he is, nor his accomplishments, nor his legacy. If he was going to sit for an interview, he instructed me and required of me that it would only be because he wanted to talk about Jesus and to exalt the name of Jesus. And so thankfully, I was able to reassure Dr. Bickle that our podcast is testimony-based and exists for the purpose of capturing how one's life story is taken up into the story of Jesus Christ. As long as Christ was exalted, then Dr. Bickle was willing to be interviewed. And so he was. And I'm happy to share with you that it was a wonderful, captivating, memorable, and moving interview, and one that I commend to your listening when the episode is released in a few weeks. And as I've been reflecting on this interview with Dr. Bickle this past week, while simultaneously studying Psalm 66, I've come to believe that Dr. Bickle and the psalmist share a similar conviction, a conviction which is our big idea for the day. And that conviction by Dr. Bickle and that conviction by the psalmist is this: we can either rejoice through testimony or worry about legacy. Psalm 66 is a psalm that gives testimony. Testimony of thanksgiving to Almighty God. And it gives us a framework for our rejoicing, for the testimony of our own lives. If you've never been sure about your own testimony or how you might share your testimony with others, then Psalm 66 is a help to you. It gives us a pattern to follow. Psalm 66 is a model for how we rejoice in God for all that God has done in our lives. It is a model for testimony. It is a model for exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to look at that pattern with you this morning. If you still have your Bibles open, and I hope you do, you can turn to Psalm 66 and make reference to it, and you'll see that Psalm 66 is made up of five sections that create a progression for how we can build our testimonies and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a pattern that builds over these five sections. And I want to look at each of these sections quickly in turn with you this morning. Section one is verses 1-4. And it begins with what I'm calling the pledge. Every testimony must begin with the pledge. The pledge is God's declaration of intent. that he has for the world. Every testimony begins not with us, but with God. The entire created order, according to Psalm 66, is made and ordered for praise and worship of Almighty God. It all begins with God. And you and I, we were made in the created order to worship God. All that was made in heaven and on earth was made to bring glory to God. And so the psalmist says, shout for joy to God. God. All the earth, sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. This is, as I heard one commentator put it, the right kind of universalism. Not universal salvation, but the universal intent and purpose that God has brought into the created order, that all of creation is to praise God. It begins with God. God's purpose, God's design, God's intent for each one of us and for all the natural order is to praise God. And so all of our testimonies begin in the same place. It begins with the pledge, God's pledge. That we were made for him. Next comes the gospel. Verses 5 through 7 is the gospel. God made us for himself and for his glory, but something terrible has happened. Something has gone awry. Sin has entered into the world, and people are enslaved. And so the psalmist describes this enslavement by alluding to the 430 years of bitter toil that Israel endured at the hands of Egypt. But God, in his grace and in his mercy, delivered Israel out of slavery with a strong and mighty hand. The people of God see and behold the mighty works of God for them. And so the psalmist's testimony includes good news. It has to include the gospel. And the psalmist says, come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds towards the children of man. And you and I have that same testimony. As we have been enslaved by sin and the great exodus that Christ has achieved for us by coming to us and delivering us out of the bonds of slavery by giving his life on the cross. That was the mighty work and the power of God to save us. It is our testimony. The pledge, the gospel, and then next in verses 8 through 12, the trial. It's the part of the testimony that none of us want to think about. None of us want to go through. But every testimony of joy has to be tested. It has to be tried. It has to be refined. And so the psalmist says, for you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. We come to Christ by grace through faith. And we fall in love with all that God has done for us, and we rejoice. And then God brings us into the testing. The trials of our faith that are more precious than refined gold. Fire and water in the psalm are two extremes. A poetic Hebraism meaning everything between fire and water. To say that we've been tried by fire and water is to say there are these extremes and we've been tried in every which way that can possibly be tried. It is a thorough testing because there can be no joy on the other side if we don't first go through the refining process. And that testing is never easy. It's never fun. But the psalmist reminds us that God is faithful. And so this section ends, you have brought us out to a place of abundance. Speaking with Dr. Bickle as he shared with us, and you'll hear in the podcast, I'm not giving away too much, all of his life was built upon and predicated upon his physical prowess. He was a college football player, quite good at it. He was a Navy pilot. His physical prowess and the powers of his speech, as he was an orator and a speaker and a teacher and a pastor. And Parkinson's was removing all of that out of his life. He can hardly walk and hardly talk. And yet he sees it as God's refinement. Boiling away and burning away all the things that he took pride in order that what is left might be found worthy of the calling to which he was called. We're all called to the trial. It's part of our testimony. But the trial always leads to a word of praise. The psalmist doesn't end in the trial. The testimony continues in verses 13 through 15 as the psalmist worships God. And praise of the people of God includes commitment, the commitment that the psalmist makes to God. A joyful testimony is one in which we keep our vows, which our lips have uttered, and the promises we made to be faithful. Praise is sacrificial. A joyful testimony is one that includes evidence of a sacrificial life where we say to God in praise, not me, Lord, but you. Not my will, but yours be done. That was Christ's testimony. His praise through the trial, and it is ours. We offer our lives as sacrifice. We don't recount our accomplishments or what we are owed, but we give praise to God. We praise Him. And praise is not where it ends. It's not the ultimate, but the penultimate word of our testimony. In order for a testimony to be complete, it must include the invitation. Verses 16 through 20 is the invitation. No testimony of joy that we receive in the Lord can be made complete without an invitation for others to come and to share in what God has done in our lives. And so the psalmist cries out at the end of his testimony, come and hear. All you who fear God, and I will tell you what He has done for my soul. Listen to my testimony. I cried to Him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. The pledge, the gospel, the trial, the praise, and the invitation. This is how we give a testimony of joy for all that God has done. I've shared with you throughout this series that I agree with Aaron Wren's analysis that our culture has slid from positive world through neutral world and entered into what he describes as negative world. And in negative world, legacy functions in a particular way. Legacy isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing. Honor our fathers and to remember what they have accomplished. Legacy is not a characteristic of the negative world, but I do think an emerging characteristic of negative world is the heightened defense of legacy. I don't think there could be the rise of what we call cancel culture in negative world without this fierce protection of legacy. Cancel culture is simply a tactic in service of protecting legacy. We see the tactic used in the highest forms of our government, and we're going to see it even more as the new election cycle draws nearer and nearer. We see it in the highest forms of our government, and we see it at our family picnics. Cancel culture, legacy protection. We see it in our places of work. We see it in churches. And cancel culture is a pretty effective tactic for protecting legacy. But it does not and cannot and will never build culture. It can only tear down. And it will never produce joy. The Apostle John in the book of Revelation is given a vision of negative world. The most clear vision of negative world that ever could have been seen by the eyes of a man was the Apostle John at the island of Patmos as he is given the revelation. The book of Revelation. It is negative world. And what does John record for our benefit? For the church, for the people of God in the midst of negative world. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they conquered by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even to death. It's not legacy. It's testimony. Are we as the church protecting legacy or building a testimony? Building a testimony built upon the pledge of Almighty God and His love for the world, built upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who delivered us out of the bondage of slavery to sin through Christ's death on the cross, built upon the refining fire of God that tries our faith to make it more precious than gold, built upon the sacrificial praise of the people of God, of Jesus Christ in worship, as we give ourselves to Him sacrificially, built upon the joy of sharing the good news with others who are suffering in this cruel and negative world. Are we protecting legacy or building a testimony? Only one of these produces joy. Only one of these overcomes the negative world. Only one of these is truly Christian. This is a memorial inscribed in stone at a place called Lakeside, Ohio. Place that I visit every summer and have for the last 10 plus years. It's a wonderful community, part of the Chautauqua Institute. And in the middle of Lakeside, there's a building called Hoover Auditorium. It's at the very center of Lakeside. And on the side of the building, inscribed in stone, is this text of Scripture from Revelation 19:10. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I find this plaque engraved in stone remarkable given all the plaques that cover Lakeside. You can't find a tree or a park bench or a building or anything that doesn't have a plaque inscribed in it that gives voice to a person, names a person for all that they did in making this possible. Legacy after legacy after legacy. But there at the center of the community are these words: the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What plaque resides in the temple of your heart? Is it a plaque that gives witness to legacy? Or is it one that gives testimony to the person and work of Jesus Christ? Let us pray. Lord, we thank You that You have given us strategies in this negative world. The Psalms are not only the songbook, the prayer book, but the playbook of how to be the church in this negative world. Thank You for this outline, this pattern of testimony. We thank You for the revelation of the Apostle John, who reminds us that through testimony we overcome. by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, and the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Oh Lord, make us prophets this day, each and every one of us, as we give testimony more and more to all that you have done. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.